When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Eagles fans, this is Chris Franklin from NJ Advanced Media, and welcome to the No Huddle Show podcast, where we'll discuss anything and everything Philadelphia Eagles. You can read our content on nj.com/Eagles, bookmark that, and you can subscribe to our exclusive Eagles Insider text service, where we'll break news, give you insider observations, and provide in-depth analysis. Through Eagles Extra, you can send questions and comments directly to us, and we'll respond directly to your phone. We're once again joined by my No Huddle Show co-host, Les Bowen. Today, this is actually the funny thing is, before we even get into intros, we were supposed to talk about regular stuff that happened at camp, but some breaking news came out, and we'll discuss that a little bit later. We'll also talk about some surprise players who played well in camp, and as well as the upcoming joint practices with the Cleveland Browns. Les, before we start, Les, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Things not bad. And not to start the podcast on a sad note, but we definitely do think we should mention this. I want to send my condolences and everybody, I'm sure, out there and on the No Huddle Show podcast who listened to it for when we heard the passing of your mom. And I'm really sorry that happened, man. It's really sad. I apologize, man.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. Mom was 96, and you know, I'll miss her quite a bit, but it was a struggle here the last few years. And, you know, it's everybody goes through it, and I'm doing all right. Thanks.
I'm glad to hear it. It's I know, especially family members is tough, and especially your mom. So, man, it's sad to see you not with us when we were with us, but it's even sadder to know it's mom, man. And they're important, man. And I'm glad you're back and glad you're okay. The rest of your family's okay, but it's tough. But moving on, getting to that breaking news that we mentioned earlier, the Eagles made a trade today. We're recording this on Monday, and the Eagles actually traded one of their 2019 draft picks. And surprise, surprise, it was wide receiver J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And we know Arcega-Whiteside, the Eagles had big plans for him at wide receiver when he came in. He's supposed to be a big body guy. Well, unfortunately for the Eagles and for him, he's no longer here. He's traded to Seattle Seahawks for, and I apologize if I messed this name up because it's going to be is Uma. I'm trying to get the name. I don't want to mess this up.
Ugo, is it? Uma Ugo Amadi.
There you go.
Ugo Amadi.
Thank you very much. Yeah. It's something around that aspect, but he's a defensive back from the Seattle Seahawks. And I just want to get you start off with this. Les, what are your thoughts about the initial trade?
Well, I'm surprised they got anything. You know, it's I think this was a case of two teams in the same situation. Apparently, Amadi had asked to be released because he was in a situation where he didn't think he was going to make the Seahawks roster after 4 years there. And he wanted to catch on somewhere else. You know, he didn't want to be in the last round of cuts when there's a whole bunch of guys vying for positions throughout the league. And JJ was not at practice yesterday. And I think something similar must have happened, that he was, after not getting a lot of snaps in the preseason game against the Jets and being listed on the depth chart as basically the sixth tight end, as the way I read it, I think JJ was not going to come here anymore than play. So he wanted, you know, he knew they were going to cut him. He wanted out. There was a report earlier today that the Seahawks were going to waive Amadi, and I guess Howie Roseman got on the phone and said, hey, before you do that, how about this? And the Seahawks were willing to do it. So, you know, they got a guy. I don't have any idea if he can make the team, but he's played 47 NFL games, which, you know, would indicate he's only 25 years old. He certainly has a shot at making the team or the practice squad or something, you know. So, yeah. It's, like I said, more than I would have expected for a guy that everybody knew was going to be cut Tuesday when the team has to go from 90 to 85 players. So he was not one of the Eagles. JJ was not one of the Eagles' top 85 players. And, you know, they got something for him. So it's a shame JJ's career worked out like it did. He was a hardworking guy. He was a nice guy. He just wasn't very good. And it's puzzling to me. Usually high picks that don't work out, there's a problem with attitude or position or size or, you know, something like that. With him, it was just he wasn't a good player. And you look back at that draft and he was drafted kind of where people thought he would be drafted in the second round. But he's not fast. He's not real tall. They call him a big receiver basically because he's kind of bulky. Built more like a running back, really, than a receiver. He doesn't have great hands. He's not fast. He wasn't a great route runner. Whatever in the world they did at Stanford to make him look like a really good player, nobody was able to do that here. So maybe Seattle can find that magic that the Eagles never were quite able to find. I mean, a guy like Jalen Reagor, you can see he has talent. Maybe not as much talent as he should have to be drafted in the first round. But, you know, Jalen Reagor, there's stuff there. There's speed. There's leaping ability. Yeah, things of that nature. With JJ, they talked about his catch radius when he was drafted. I never really saw that come into play very much. I saw him miss a lot of balls that maybe he could have caught. But so one of those great draft mysteries that probably will forever go unsolved.
You bring up a good point when it comes to what he was supposed to be. You know, everybody envisioned him being the X receiver, but and this guy who could get these contested catches. But it's like what my history teacher, Mr. Tenney, used to tell us when we started to learn about the Holy Roman Empire. It wasn't holy. It wasn't Roman, and it wasn't an empire. I think when you look at what J.J. Arcega-Whiteside – thank you, Mr. Tenney. I appreciate that. But when you look at what he does, like he was this weird fit, and he didn't have really a position that he could really call his own and really excel in because, listen, when you take somebody in the second round, they're not going to be – you better expect – you don't want him to be just, oh, well, he does well in special teams and he's your enforcer. No, he better be a returner where he's like a Dante Hall type guy or he's an impact player. And how many times do we continually hear about the DK Metcalf, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside thing? Well, this is one of the things where it comes back. I think when you look at that overall draft class and what they did, it was a mistake. And the Eagles got his back as much as they could for what they did that. Now, when it comes to Amadi, I think it's very interesting he comes into a – I think it creates another camp battle now all of a sudden because when you look at what he does, he can play inside in the slot as a slot corner. It can also play safety. Well, you look at those positions, you start looking like, well, the team recently moved Josiah Scott. They've been having him play safety. They had him playing, taking first team snaps. When Anthony Harris was out, he had a tooth issue, but he came back later on. But Josiah Scott was playing first team. So it's like, wait a minute. You have this guy who's a slot corner who – mainly, but now he's getting significant snaps because he wants to see that. And then you also have Andre Chachere. And now you start to question, like, you look at some of these spots, like, the Eagles might have some tough choices when it comes to the back end depth and the secondary, especially at safety end. This might be their answer. And if I'm Kayvon Wallace, I'm looking like, uh-oh, like, what's going on here? Because you were called out by the general manager in the very first press conference. They wanted to see, like, hey, you know what? We want to see you improve so much. And he's had his moments during camp, but nothing that you saw and said, hey, you know what? This is a guy we can insert into the defense. This is a guy who can make the occasional play here and there. The fact they brought another veteran guy at the safety position along with Jaquarski Tartt. Now, if I'm Kayvon Wallace, I'm like, you have to show something in these next couple of weeks, or else you're probably looking for another team to latch on. It's just a crazy thing.
Lekamati, Kayvon Wallace is a fourth round pick. And it's really funny, that year in the draft, that was the pick everybody thought the Eagles had really gotten value for. It was kind of like the N'Kobe Dean pick this year. It was like, oh, yeah, they got Kayvon Wallace in the fourth round. Well, Adam, you know, there's a guy. I haven't seen him do anything. I think he blocked a punt last year against Denver, I guess. Was that him? You know, that's the only play I've ever seen him make. He doesn't seem to be fast, and he doesn't seem to be around the ball a lot. And, yeah, he's definitely in a fight there, I would guess.
And now I'm getting back to this as well, too, is now we get to that 2019 draft. Now you look at who's remaining that's a regular contributor. The only person is Miles Sanders. Because when you look at the first-round pick, Andre Dillard, who got in a camp fight, which was surprising in itself. You didn't think he would be the person to start two fights before you were sent off. But he's a backup to Jordan Mailata. Now you have Arcega Whiteside, who's no longer with the team. I mean, Sharif Miller, we saw what happened with him. And Clayton Thorson, where I wasn't around for the team for this, but I remember seeing the quotes and hearing from everybody saying the best thing that Doug Peterson used to say was that best thing about him was he was married, which is like, okay, it's not instilling a lot of confidence. So this 2019, you pick, especially with two of your first three picks not here, and then the third person entering the last year of his contract, this is crazy, in my opinion.
Yeah, that was not a great draft. And, you know, Thorson was one of those guys that the minute you saw him, you thought, well, nah. You know, it was when they drafted him, they were thinking third quarterback. You know, the bar wasn't real high, but I was shocked that Dallas picked him up after the Eagles got rid of him. And he actually stayed there for a while. You know, I just saw nothing there. He nice guy, you know, but I did not see an NFL arm. Probably one of the least impressive quarterbacks the Eagles have had in training camp in the last 10 years or so. Yeah, so that was not a good draft. And the Eagles have paid a price for their drafts from the mid to late 2000s, you know, going up to 2020, 21, 22. They've been doing better here lately, but there's no doubt that they had several years that, you know, they'd like to do over again. And what that hurts you with is guys that ought to be in their primes now, you know, or entering their primes, at least, and we're talking about 2019. These are guys that could be building blocks of your team, and you've had to go out and, you know, sign free agents like Hassan Reddick and Darius Slay because you haven't, you know, you don't have those guys. They haven't come through for you. You know, that's just – they've been very fortunate. They've been able to patch and fill the way they have. And I think that's one thing we need to acknowledge about the 2022 Eagles, who look like a very good team. There's some guys here on one-year deals as free agents who kind of help make it a very good team. And if, you know, if they're not here long-term, I'm not sure where that leaves the roster. So I'll just leave it at that.
I agree. I agree. Because whoever their agents are for a lot of those guys, I'm pretty sure they're setting them up for another big payday, especially with a good year. But the Eagles, knowing their cap situation with some of their long-term deals they just recently signed with guys like Mailata, and then they have to worry about the quarterback coming up, it's going to be a messy cap situation and trying to get some of these guys back. So this is why this year is going to be very, very important for them to set up for what they hope is a long playoff run. But before they do that, they have to make sure they get through training camp first. And there's been a lot of players, a lot of news for good and bad for some players who have stood out and some who have not. Les, I want to get your opinion. I know you've been out for the last few practices, but who has been your surprise player so far in camp, either good or bad?
You know, the thing that sticks out for me, and I have not been there a whole lot, especially lately, James Bradberry has been better than I thought he would be. He was, you know, I know it was a big deal that the Eagles were able to get him after the Giants cut him. And, you know, I knew he was penciled in as a starter, but he's a guy that's been kind of up and down. He had a tremendous year for Carolina in 2020, did not have a great year for the Giants last year, which is why they were willing to get rid of him. I was kind of thinking, yeah, he'll be okay in the zone. He'll be better than Steven Nelson. But, you know, this is not any kind of premier player or anything like that. But a few practices, I've been watching him play, you know, one-on-one, man-to-man, right off the line. And he's done well. And the Eagles have good receivers. It's not like he's playing against trash. I've been quite impressed with James Bradberry. I hope that you know, holds over into the regular season. I think they're in a very solid situation at corner right now.
That's, he's very good. As he is, those matchups that you see one-on-one that we get to see with the between the wide receivers and cornerbacks, him and Devonta Smith are interesting. It's like they carried that last year's Giants game up at the Meadowlands over into training camp, and the little games that they're playing inside each play is interesting to see when it comes to the one-on-ones, how Devonta Smith tries to get those breaks out and how does James Bradberry counter. So it's been good. If I had to save one for myself, I'd definitely say Davion Taylor. And for coming into a season where the Eagles really bolstered up those linebackers, adding Hassan Reddick, adding N'Kobe Dean, now as you look at the players that were around there, you look at David Taylor, you start going, okay, is he really going to fit in? What is his role going to be? And I say, when looking at everything he's done to this point so far, I've been thoroughly impressed. And especially when it comes to not only his recognition of diagnosing the plays, because remember, he didn't pick up football until very, very late, what would be late, considered late for many people when he was in late in high school and then went on to the University of Colorado. So he's, those study sessions he had with Nick Rouse were starting to pay off in doing that. You see the athletic ability, but the main important thing is he's creating turnovers. He's gotten by unofficial count, I think I have like three or four interceptions by him. He's forced a couple, a fumble or two as well too. And he's playing well in a zone area, especially where Jonathan Gannon likes to have that line, the linebackers either drop back into like the hook curl area where a lot of slot receivers like to go, or running backs, or even the flat as well too, where one-on-one against running backs. He's finding ways to make plays, and he's even matched up a couple of times against some wide receivers and broken some passes up. So you look and you start to question like, okay, Davion Taylor is starting to become a real player in this. Where do you put him? Kaiser White's playing well. N'Kobe Dean is still filling in as well, too, doing decently. TJ Edwards is still in the middle, so he's doing well. And then you look over at Hassan Reddick, who's basically playing that Sam strong side linebacker, like where he's going to be rushing the passer, but still dropping it up some guys. So the Eagles, we talked about earlier about the defensive back, and especially that safety being tough, the Eagles want to have some tough decisions when he makes a linebacker.
Yeah, that's really true. And that's a really unusual position for the Eagles to be in, and a happy dilemma to have, frankly. And I'll be interested to see what they do. I would guess Davion Taylor, I mean, he just got here last year. He'll be on the team. How much he plays is really what we're debating here. You know, he'll probably have to, early in the season, make his mark again on special teams and work his way. You know, there's often injuries at that position. It's a tough position to play. It's great to see him looking good. I wasn't – when he first showed up, I was skeptical. I did not see a whole lot. But, you know, he's starting to grow on me.
Yeah, and the big thing for him especially is going to be make sure he stays on the team, because after an MCL repair – that ended his season last year. He had knee issues earlier on last season, and his availability is going to be the main thing that's going to give him a chance to have a shot, mainly in his defense. And yeah, I'm sure Jonathan Gannon, Howie Roseman, Nick Sirianni, all those guys are hoping he stays healthy, because it stays off the injury list. Because if he does, he can be pretty impactful in some certain packages. Now, we're talking a lot about defense. We're talking about offense. Well, this defense is now going to go on the road and leave the NovaCare Complex, head over to Borrego, Ohio, which frankly, I'd never been at it, never heard of it until basically started covering this thing. But it's the home of the Cleveland Browns and the training facility, and that's where you and I will be headed over down there to joint practices. So when it comes to that, Les, what are some of the things you're looking for when the Eagles take on the Browns in a joint practice?
Well, this is going to be really fascinating, Chris, and I don't think this is quite what the Eagles had in mind when they set this up. But Deshaun Watson is there in Berea, Ohio, practicing. He played in his first preseason game last week. I don't think that's what the NFL had in mind. But while he's appealing this suspension, the six-game suspension, or while the NFL is appealing the suspension, I should make that clear, he's allowed to participate. And we don't know if he will be playing against the Eagles this coming Sunday. I know that there were reports from Cleveland today that Jacoby Brissett had sort of started taking the bulk of the starting reps under the anticipation that the appeal to Peter Harvey would go through, and that the decision would be made this week, and that whatever Watson's suspension is, that it would start. But you know, that'll be the first thing we'll be asked to check on. And I'm sure the Eagles tomorrow in practice — they did not practice today, Monday, but Tuesday, when we go see the Eagles practice, that they're going to be asked about Deshaun Watson. And, you know, I'm sure they'll want to dance around that topic and not say anything inflammatory. But that's topic one coming up there in Cleveland. There's other interesting stuff there, too. You know, that's a lot of talent on that Browns roster, really. You're looking at, running back from Kansas City, one of the very best running backs in the league, I think. I just wish I had his name in front of me right now.
Oh, is it Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt?
Kareem Hunt, that's who we're talking about. Thank you, Chris. Good to have these young people around for when Grandpa here.
Trust me, concussions start to mess my head up, so I may have the same age rating as you right now. Yeah.
When my grandpa brain kind of, I'm thinking, okay, Kansas City guy, I can see him running. I know his running style. His name is Kareem Hunt. You're right. Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. I think Denzel Ward was cleared to get back into practice. He's been out with a foot injury. Javion Clowney's there. Myles Garrett, I guess, has had the last couple days off for personal reasons. But, you know, by Thursday, when they practice with the Eagles, I would think that will be resolved. So we're going to see some battles. You know, I want to see Jordan Mailata against Myles Garrett and that sort of thing. I think this will be a very good test, a very talented team, one that's in some turmoil. But, this is the sort of thing that the NFL is trending toward. I think we should mention that. I think there will be a day before too long when there won't be preseason games, and we'll just have a bunch of these things going on around the league. The Eagles are doing two of them this year, at Cleveland and then at Miami. And this is where you might not see the Eagles starters in a preseason game again this August. You might just, have to work off the reports of how they do in these joint practices, because that's what the coaches are really looking forward to evaluating and where they're going to make a lot of their decisions, I think. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. And I don't know why I just had the image of John Lennon singing "Imagine No Preseason Games." It isn't hard to do. And it sounds so soothing and nice and so uplifting not to see some of the play that we did, especially after the last third and fourth quarters. But I agree. I mean, looking at the I think first off, you can't avoid the Deshaun Watson stuff. I mean, the fact that the Eagles have been linked to him for a very long time throughout last season as a potential replacement for Jalen Hurts. Then you have the relationship that Jalen Hurts and Deshaun Watson have, in that they both are good friends. And reportedly, Deshaun Watson said he didn't want to come to Philly because he didn't want to mess with Jalen Hurts. Then you look at the executive level. You got Andrew Berry and now Catherine Raich, two disciples from the Howie Roseman tree are now going to be facing, just seeing how their rosters are facing off. So you have that dynamic. I want to see how it happens when Catherine meets up with Howie. First off, like, hey, we really wanted you to stick around, but we knew we went to Andrew. But, you know, Howie's going to enjoy that because it helps his, it looks his tree. It looks, it's better for him. And he seems like a genuine guy that wants to see a lot of people who he works with move on forward and succeed elsewhere. But you are right. When it comes to those defensive ends, for the Browns, I mean, Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson versus Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett. I mean, whew, that's going to be fun. And then we get to see Amari Cooper versus Darius Slay part 50,000. So there's so much stuff to see around there, and it's going to be very intriguing to watch. And I mean, Jonathan Gannon's going back home to Cleveland and the hoopla surrounding that. So it's going to be a very, very interesting thing, and you and I are going to have a lot of fun covering this and sharing it with everybody who's listening and also everybody who reads RealEnergy.com. And I'll start with this. Les, what's your you have any final thoughts for either this upcoming week or anything football-related overall?
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit. We didn't mention the first preseason game against the Jets. I wasn't there for it. You were. I guess the big play was when Jalen Hurts ran out of bounds and got whacked for a 15-yard penalty against number 56. I've seen Jalen criticized for maybe bailing on the pocket a little early, for not throwing the ball away. I really think people are looking pretty deep there. To me, you run out of bounds, you're out of bounds. You know, I mean, you don't get hit. That's the idea. You know, it's against – I mean, is he at fault if he's sitting on the bench and somebody comes over and hits him? I don't know. I mean, let's not let's not make this impossible for the guy. I mean, it's – I know we don't want him to get hurt, and I know we want him to stay in the pocket as much as he can and, you know, look for secondary receivers and all that good stuff. But he ran out of bounds. You know, I mean, to me, that'll work, you know, most of the time. So I'm not going to get on him for that. That's my last thought.
Yeah, I agree with you, because especially when you're on that, in that situation, you're rolling out to your right. You don't have any deep defenders that are open. The scramble drill's in play. So, and I remember this Shane Steichen saying this last year, where they try to make it like a five on a die, and you're looking at that deep corner. Well, he's taken. You don't want to throw across your body inside because then you're risking interception, and you don't have a short receiver in front. So you can either take off and run, which you already were doing, or you just run out of bounds, which is a safe thing to do. And Quincy Williams was just that was just a boneheaded play on his end. And it was kind of funny to watch Sirianni react to it in the way that the offensive lineman came up to defend Hurts as well, too. I thought that was very key, because that's how you know the quarterback has to buy in the team, because there are some players who we've seen in the past where they don't have that buy-in. It's like, oh, well, he got hit. Okay, he'll get up eventually. So,
don't think they have to worry about teams doing this in the regular season, taking 15-yard penalties to take cheap shots at Jalen Hurts out of bounds. I don't think that's going to be a thing.
Yeah. I remember I used to have this is where you gotta love semi-pro. I used to have there was a coach that used to tell us that say the sort of defenders, especially if you see somebody, if it's early on and you see either a quarterback or a receiver, that it's okay to take the 15 just to send a message early on. And I'm sure Saleh wasn't that way, but I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be surprised if Quincy Williams was going, hey, you know what? I'm going to set the tone and send the message that we're not to be played with, which is going to – this is not smart to begin with, and it's going to make his wallet lighter. So,
oh, absolutely. And if he had heard Hurts, I think he'd be looking at suspension, you know. But
oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's it for me.
And my final one, it has to do with the Guardian cap. And it starts with that. I mean, we saw early on with Jason Kelce putting a bubble wrap on his head. Well, the two players who regularly had to wear it, Andre Dillard and Jordan Mailata, well, they had concussions and they were out for about 5 days. And it was interesting which was great. We actually had locker room access again, so it was great. So we get to find stuff like this. Jordan Mailata was asked about, hey, you know what? What do you think about the Guardian cap? And he called it fake news. He said it basically didn't stop any concussions and it doesn't work. And he apologized profusely to the NFL, but he wasn't doing it. And I, you know, there's been too much like when it comes to, as I say, criticism, when it comes to that and concern when it came to from coaches and players worried about this cap would lead to more concussions because guys are thinking, oh, I got extra padding on the outside. Let me go ahead and hit this guy a little bit harder. And I'm starting to wonder, I personally, if I'm them, I'm going back to the drawing board to find another solution. I know they're not going to wear it forever. I think they have maybe a week and a half having to wear these things, but the NFL, I know they're worried about player safety. I know they're worried about head injuries and the long-term effects of that, but there has to be a better way when it comes to that, because if players are not truly believing in it now and you start seeing concussions to that magnitude, there needs to be a change somewhere.
Okay.
And on that note, we're going to end this podcast here. We thank you guys very much for listening into it. Remember, make sure to check Les's work and myself out on nj.com/Eagles. Also, don't forget to check out Eagles Extra, where we'll go ahead and continue to do the text updates whenever stuff breaks, such as the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside news. Planning on having a Q&A probably on either Friday or Saturday. To give you guys, if you guys have any questions, make sure to send those in if you're already a subscriber. If not, sign up. It's a good time to do that as well, too. And for Les, I'm Chris. Everybody enjoy the rest of your day. Have a good one now.